How many of you have either read or seen the movies, the classic J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings? Right? Hopefully many. I have both read the book series and watched the movies. Both are equally great. In fact, the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, it's one of the only movies I can remember actually going to the midnight opening for. Now, I don't know how they do it now, but back when this movie came out, if the opening day was on a Friday, then the first showing would be on midnight Thursday night going into that Friday. This is the only movie that I've showed up at midnight to see. It came out in December 2001. And I was the campus minister at the University of Georgia at the time. And a large group of us from the campus ministry went together. And some of us even dressed up. I'm just going to leave it at that. But all of us and that were a part of this group had a mashed up name made by combining our name with one of the names of a character in the book. So, for instance, one student was named Jim. And one of the characters in the book is Gimli. And so for several weeks leading up to the movie, we called him Jimli. You follow me? Another student was Dustin. One of the characters in the book was Legolas. And so his name became Dustilus. A little bit more of a stretch. But you get the idea, right? Now, some of you may be wondering what my name was. I'll tell you. One of the main characters of the book was named Aragorn. He was a ranger from the north who would eventually become king. And so I became known as Baragorn. And I still answer to that name. If for any reason you get tired of calling me Barrett. But I share that with you today so that you will know how highly I think of the story. It's a wonderful adventure. It's filled with many incredible characters, great battle scenes. Good versus evil, highly, highly recommend it to you. But just in case this morning, if you're not familiar with the story, I want to give you just a quick synopsis of the plot. Through a series of many events, there's a young hobbit named Frodo Baggins. He inherits the One Ring. It's also known as the Ring of Power. And this ring was forged by the Dark Lord Sauron in the volcanic pit called Mount Doom. And he forged this ring in order to gain control of all the people of Middle Earth. And the only way to keep the ring from returning to the Dark Lord Sauron was to destroy it by throwing it into the pit there in Mount Doom where it had been forged. Now, the only problem is Mount Doom is located in Mordor. That's the realm and home base of Sauron. In other words, Mount Doom is in Sauron's backyard. And that's a problem because Mordor is not a pleasant place. And so the Lord of the Rings tells the story of Frodo Baggins taking the One Ring into Mordor, into Sauron's backyard, in order to destroy the One Ring in the pit of Mount Doom. And it's an adventure that's filled with great difficulty, so many obstacles, all kinds of hardship. Now, this may say a little something about me, but I couldn't help but think about Frodo's remarkable journey to Mount Doom as I read and studied these last two chapters in Acts this week. Because the book of Acts ends with Paul taking a very similar kind of journey. Now, he's not taking the One Ring in the Mordor, but instead, he's taking the one gospel. He's taking the preaching of the kingdom of God into the very heart of the Roman Empire. He's taking the one gospel, the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, into the capital city of Rome. For the Roman Empire, Rome is home base. And so with these last two chapters, Luke tells the story of Paul's remarkable journey, taking the one gospel from Jerusalem into Caesar's backyard. And it was quite an adventure. It included a raging storm. We read in Acts 27, where neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and everyone on board the ship gave up hope for being saved. So it included a storm. It included a shipwreck. It was a wreck that was so bad that it destroyed the stern of the boat, and it forced all 276 people overboard. It included a snake bite, once aground, a viper, Luke tells us, fastened itself to the hand of Paul, and he had to shake the snake off into the fire. And so there were storms and shipwrecks and snake bites. Like Frodo, it was an adventure filled with tremendous difficulty and all kinds of hardship. I brought a map with me that I'd like to share with you. I think I've shared this before. If you can read the words, it's in Spanish. I took this picture actually in 2017 when Stephen and I were in Chile the first time. You've probably seen maps like this. You might even have some like this in your Bible. But they show us Paul's three missionary journeys where he goes from town to town. But this one also shows us his journey to Rome. And what I love about this map is that the person who drew his journey to Rome on this map made the decision to show the difficulty of his journey to Rome with a bunch of squiggly lines. Do you see that? He made that decision. He wanted us to see how difficult the journey was with the squiggly line. You see that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That's the easiest path. That's the quickest route. And Paul's journey to Rome in chapters 27 and 28 was anything but a straight line. If you haven't, I encourage you to read the details of the journey sometime. However, this morning, I want to spend our time at the end of chapter 28. Dan has read this text already for us. Paul did eventually make it to Rome. And even though he remained a prisoner of Rome, the book of Acts concludes with Paul preaching the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ in Caesar's backyard. And so the last image we have of Paul is of him under house arrest, most likely chained to a Roman soldier in the heart of the Roman Empire, fearlessly proclaiming the kingdom of God and that Jesus is Lord. Let's read verses 30 and 31 again together. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how Luke concludes the book of Acts. That's how it ends. We don't know if Paul's set free. We don't know if Paul gets to talk to Caesar. We just know that he preaches and teaches boldly without hindrance. You know, many scholars don't like how Luke ends the book of Acts. Many of them call it the most unusual ending to a book in all of Scripture. And I will say this, it doesn't have a clean and tidy ending. You know, there are many loose ends left undone. Luke does not tie a big bow on this two-volume work with a grand conclusion. We would all like to know what happened to Paul. But I really like the ending. What about you? What do you think about the ending of the book of Acts? You know, interestingly, Luke actually ends the book of Acts with an adverb. The last word of the Greek manuscript to this book is an adverb. It's a word meaning unhinderedly. Unhinderedly. Isn't that a great, great word to end your two-volume work with? Can you think of a time when you've ever used that word in a sentence? Unhinderedly. I've never used it as an adverb with an L-Y. You know, most English translations of your Bible will use without hindrance. But I like the word unhinderedly. It's a great word. The word is defined simply as able to continue freely without being slowed or stopped. Able to continue freely without being slowed or stopped. Here's how verse 31 literally reads. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, unhinderedly. Unhinderedly. So here's what I want us to do this morning with this final lesson from this 3-year series. I want to use these last two verses and specifically this last word, unhinderedly, to summarize our study through the book of Acts in 3 very important ways. Number 1, the book of Acts encourages us to have an unhindered faith. That's the first way. The book of Acts, we've spent 3 years with it. And one of the ways that I want to summarize it, of 3 this morning, is that the book of Acts encourages us, encourages the reader, to have an unhindered faith. Let's read again verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. I was talking with my parents this past week, and I really don't think they'll mind me sharing this with you. But my parents were in full-time ministry for 50-plus years. And so they're used to going and doing for other people. That's been their life. That's all they've known. And so they have slowly entered into this new season where they can't go and they can't do like they once did. Anybody else feel that way on occasion? Just this past week, some of their good friends had a son-in-law die. And mom and dad wanted so badly to drive the 2 hours, to be at the funeral, to love on their friends. That's what they've always done. And they just physically, they could not do it. But they were just so torn about it because they wanted to go. And I use this verse to encourage them. Here I was, I'm studying, preparing for this lesson. And so, as I talk to mom and dad on the phone, I use this verse, verse 30, to encourage them to say, look, Paul, if anybody was used to going and doing, it was Paul. He, in fact, had traveled all over the Mediterranean world 3 different times. But here in Rome, he had entered into this season, a different set of circumstances, where he could not go and do. He was under house arrest. And here's what I wanted my parents to see, and here's what I want you to see this morning. The circumstances hindered his ability to go and do, but the circumstances did not hinder his faith. Luke tells us, instead of going, he welcomed. You see, his circumstances were hindered, but his faith was not hindered. He could not go and preach and teach. Instead, he welcomed and preached and taught. His circumstances were hindered, but his faith remained unhindered. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It's at the very center of the book of Acts. It's a verse that I think Luke intentionally includes there at the very center to give us a very important insight into life in the already but not yet kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas were going from church to church there in Acts chapter 14, strengthening the believers on their first missionary journey. And then in verse 22, this is what Luke writes. This is in the from the New Living Translation. He says, they encouraged them to continue in their faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas, as they went from church to church, strengthening the churches, encouraging the churches. Here, chapter 14, verse 22. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Do you hear what he's saying? Because it's a significant statement about the in-between time that we live. It's actually encouragement, Luke says. It's meant to strengthen these believers. Here's what Paul's saying. If you don't mind, Beth, can you put the picture of the map back on there? Is that possible to get that picture back up there? Because here's what Paul's saying, and I want you to see this with this illustration. Paul's saying, if you look back up here on the screen, Paul's saying he's reminding them, he's strengthening them, he's encouraging them that life in the kingdom of God during this in-between time of already and not yet, it's going to look like his journey to Rome. That's what it's going to look like. Life's going to be full of suffering and full of obstacles and full of hardship and full of difficulty. That's life. If you're not currently experiencing something difficult in your life, then get ready. And I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to cause you to live in fear. I say it like Paul and Barnabas as a means of encouragement to you, as a means to strengthen you. The distance between our point A, birth, and our point B, death, is never a straight line. Our journey is a squiggly line because there are storms, there are shipwrecks, and there are snake bites. There's disease, there's difficulty, and there's death. There's hurt, there's pain, there's sadness, there's conflict, there's brokenness, there's cancer. Each one of us could make our own personal list of hardships. You know, one thing that I've learned in my role is that every one of us in this room has some kind of hardship to bear in our life. Listen, we all walk in here on Sunday morning and we're dressed up nice and we put our best face on, but each one of us is struggling in some way with something and something hard. And so I want you to know, as you deal with your heart, that you're not alone. We live in a world where hard happens to all of us. And that's not to make light of your own personal heart. It's just to say that life is hard. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. The book of Acts encourages us that we must suffer many hardships as we enter the kingdom of God. But this doesn't mean Jesus is not reigning from the right hand of the Father. It just means his kingdom has not yet come in all of its fullness. Paul's circumstances hindered his abilities, but they did not hinder his faith. And may we be encouraged by Paul in our hardship to also have an unhindered faith. That's number one. Number two, the book of Acts reminds us that we have an unhindered gospel. The book of Acts reminds us that we have an unhindered gospel. In verse 31, we have Paul right in the heart of the Roman Empire, chained to a Roman soldier. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I really like how the book of Acts ends because the emphasis is not on Paul. The emphasis is on the gospel. Luke chooses to end his work with the gospel having arrived to Rome. Well, what happened to Paul? Luke doesn't tell us. Instead, he concludes the book in the same way that he introduces the book. You see, at the beginning of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 3, Luke tells us that Jesus was teaching the disciples for 40 days in Jerusalem about the kingdom of God. And then now at the end of Acts, here in chapter 28, Luke tells us that Paul was teaching all who came to him in Rome about the kingdom of God. So in spite of all the stonings, in spite of the persecutions, in spite of the beheadings, the tremendous suffering, the intense opposition, every type of hindrance and obstacle, the gospel unhinderedly made it to Rome. You see, the book of Acts is not the story of Peter, and it's not the story of Paul, but it's the story of disciples receiving power from the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of the gospel. And we have an unhindered gospel. One that the book of Acts reminds us made it all the way from Jerusalem to Rome. And it's a gospel that's made it all the way from Rome to Lexington, Kentucky. Jesus came to the earth to establish his kingdom. He died on the cross that we may have forgiveness of our sins. He rose from the dead to give us new life in him. He ascended into heaven where he reigns from the right hand of the Father today, and he will return to establish his kingdom in all its fullness. That's the gospel. It's the good news of the kingdom of God. And the message of the book of Acts is that neither the hostility of the entire Jewish nation nor the might of the great Roman Empire could hinder it. In fact, for the last 2,000 years, there's not been an empire, there's not been a nation that's been able to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most scholars think Paul was released from this house arrest, but was later taken captive again and beheaded during the reign of Nero, most likely during his violent persecution of Christians that occurred following the Great Fire of Rome. But in Paul's final letter, written right before his execution, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul writes these powerful words. He writes, And because I preach this good news, I'm suffering. And I've been chained like a criminal. But here's what they don't know. Here's what they don't understand. The word of God cannot be chained. In the book of Acts, it reminds us that we have an unhindered gospel. And then number three, the book of Acts calls us to be an unhindered church. Calls us to be an unhindered church. Again, verse 31 ends this way, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness, unhinderedly. What I want you to see about this ending is that the word unhinderedly, it's an adverb that could modify proclaiming, it could modify teaching. In fact, it could even modify boldness. So this is not just plain old boldness. This is an unhindered kind of boldness. You know, Luke emphasizes the word boldness in Acts chapter 4 when the believers gather together for prayer. They prayed in verse 29 of Acts 4. Now, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. In verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. You see, the heartbeat, the desire, the passion of the early church was to speak the word of God with great boldness. And Luke ends his work with this adverb, unhinderedly, describing the manner in which Paul proclaimed, describing the manner in which he taught, and even describing the manner in which he was bold. You know, I love that this is the last word of the book, because I like the choice of the word, unhinderedly. Unhinderedly. I want that word to describe the manner in which I live as a follower of Jesus Christ. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have an unhindered witness in our community. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have an unhindered service to those in need. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have an unhindered love for one another. A witness and a service and a love that's able to continue freely without being slowed or stopped. One author writes this about the ending of Luke. He writes, "The abrupt ending leaves us with the challenge and the opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to write the next chapter in the book of Acts today in and through us." I love that. The abrupt ending leaves us with the challenge and the opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to write the next chapter in the book of Acts today in and through us. Isn't that good? You see, it could be that Luke ended the book of Acts this way because he knew there were going to be more chapters written by the Holy Spirit in generations to come. The book of Acts, it encourages us to have an unhindered faith. It reminds us that we have an unhindered gospel. And it calls us to be an unhindered church. I want to conclude this morning by showing you a little home video. Our oldest daughter, Bailey, was in Uganda this past summer. She was there for 2 months, serving with a ministry there. And following her time there, she flew into the Nashville airport, and this video that I'm going to show you is of our reunion with her. And so, Beth, if you'll play that for us.
We're back to where we dropped off here, so number one. Once again, 2067 Southwest Airlines, from Houston, Omni, those bags are circling carousel number one.
Inbound passengers, Sears and Southern Tree.
We were up Sears. We were looking at the
Sears.
We were like out there thinking we were going to catch you.
Here's why I shared that with you in conclusion. Part of the gospel for us to boldly proclaim is that a day's coming soon when the king will return. And like a father running excitedly through an airport to reunite with his child, I want you to know that he's coming. He's coming for you. God is coming again to reunite with his children and to establish his kingdom in all of its fullness. And that's going to be a great day, amen? But until that day, let's live unhinderedly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this encouragement and this reminder and this call. And I just pray that your Spirit will use it in our lives individually and in our lives as a church. So we're just thankful for this work of Luke's. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit that has preserved it and brought it to us through all these years. We just give you praise and thanksgiving. Just pray your greatest blessing on us as we look to live unhinderedly for you this week. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, just as way of invitation, if there is anyone here who has never responded to the gospel, to the unhindered gospel, we would love for this day for you to come in faith and do what Levi did, has already done, to put Christ on in baptism. I want you to know that Jesus died for your sins, that he took your sin on him personally, and he died for them to bring you forgiveness. And I also want you to know that he rose from the dead for you. He did that for you so that you might have new life. And that this gospel is for everyone. It's not just for the Jews. The Gentiles have been included, and not just the Gentiles in the first century, but you have been included. He did it for you. And we would love for you to come and respond to that gospel this morning, today. Let's stand together and sing.